If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
We have a very similar look.
We look the same.
I am Allison Victoria. Chicago is my city.
You faced some challenges and some obstacles that happened a couple years ago with...
He was a contractor. I was in the middle of filming a season and everything came crashing down. I remember being so devastated that I bought a ticket to New York. I asked the president of HGTV to meet me and I said, listen...
Do the networks pay for the renovation? Do the people have to pay? I think that's always a question you have as a viewer. Can people get affordable things that look like Serena and Lily and Restoration Hardware and our house and all those things?
I find everything that looks like something else at HomeGoods.
By the way, I'm obsessed with HomeGoods. If I ever have to get a job again, I'm going to work there because I spend all my money there.
Could not agree more.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Today, I am beyond excited to introduce someone who has taken the design world by storm. You know her as the powerhouse behind HGTV's hit show, Windy City Rehab, where she transforms homes into jaw-dropping masterpieces with her impeccable taste and bold creativity. A trailblazer in the male-dominated world of renovation, she's not just a designer, she's a dream maker, entrepreneur, and a total inspiration. In this episode, we get to the bottom of how she got into design and interior decorating, but also, more importantly, we give tips and tricks to people about how to update your own home with very little expense to refresh your entire place. So I love shows like this because it's what's misunderstood about making your place look expensive without being expensive. So please join me in giving a warm welcome to the incredibly talented and fiercely driven Allison Victoria. Allison, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. How are you today?
I am so good. How are you?
You look beautiful. We were just discussing, for people who are not watching this, people who are listening, we have a very similar look.
We look the same.
Yeah. But she's just slightly darker than me in the root of the hair. But it is odd because I feel like I'm kind of looking in the mirror and it's so fun because I kind of love you.
I loved it immediately. I'm like, wait a minute, is that Is that me? Because I'm liking my hair right now. It looks so good.
So funny. Anyway, so for people who are listening and don't know you, I wanted to give a little bit of a background. Like, can you tell us where you're from, how you got into, you know, how you found your love in interior design?
Yeah. I mean, so I've always loved it. I've always wanted to do it. When I was a little girl, I was constantly rearranging my room and my friends' rooms and like trying to figure out, like, I shared a room with my sister. So I was like, okay, how can I make this room feel like I don't share it? Hmm. And like space planning and moving like all my stuff to not be with her stuff. And then next thing I know, I'm designing my best friend's room and we're ripping up the carpet to get to the hardwood. And my friend's parents are asking me to help. I mean, this is at like 11. So wow. I knew I loved design and it was easy for me to really kind of beeline it to just do what I love in life and not really veer from that. So I studied interior architecture. I worked through my entire, like my entire college career. I worked just shadowing designers and like trying to really get in wherever I could to learn like boots on the ground stuff, mm-hmm. Which ultimately ended up being way more useful for me than the classroom.
Yeah,
although I
sure.
loved school, but yeah.
Did you have a specific person that whose style you absolutely loved and you were hoping that you could intern for that person or anything?
You know, no, it was really just like I met with the director at my school and I went to University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So mm-hmm. I met with him and he's like, and this is makes me feel so old by saying this, but like a fax came through when I was meeting with him and it was like a job opportunity. He's like, this is for you. So it was just an amazing opportunity, you know, just to really like understand the business side of it.
Right.
Because you can want to design beautiful spaces, but if you want to be successful at having your own design firm, you need to know the business.
Right.
And so learning everything about that. And then right out of college, I ended up getting a job with a home builder out in Las Vegas. Wow. And was designing, you know, beautiful homes all over the valley. And then ended up moving to Park City, doing big homes out there like Ski In, Ski Out.
Right.
And then I was just like, I want to do all the pretty stuff because I'd have to give the keys back because right. I was building the homes from the ground up. Uh-huh. And I wanted to do all the beautiful. I wanted the furniture and the draperies and the accessories. And so I ended up reading this book, like cover to cover, called The Six Secrets of Six-Figure Women. And I was like 21. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to quit my job. Like I read one of the chapters was like letting go of the ledge and like the safety net and the security blanket of like a steady paycheck and insurance. And I'm like, screw it. So I quit. But I stayed long enough to finish my jobs because I didn't want to burn any bridges and I didn't want to screw any of the clients over. And so ultimately, I ended up starting my design firm and the owner of Christopher Homes ended up getting me my first client. So it was very like, you know, when you do good, you will receive good. And it was like
right.
my career with my design firm just took off. And
how old were you when you started your
first
firm?
I was like 23.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And I knew it. I was like, this is what I want to do.
That's amazing. So you knew your purpose early, which I think yes. is the hardest thing for a lot of people to figure out, like what they're good at and what they love doing and they don't feel like they're working. So it seems exactly. like you figured that out early. So explain what goes into all of this stuff in interior design, because you said you studied the architecture, but then like, I've always been curious, do you have to have an eye for like spaces and colors to know, okay, well, darker colors will open up something or lighter colors or whatever it is. And then things that are pretty fit better here, where I've always been so confused and curious about how that all works.
I mean, for me, it starts with space planning. To me, it starts with like elevations. Mm-hmm. So that's why for what I love to do is the whole house. New construction's great, but I really love restoring and rehabbing older homes. Especially in Chicago, because you have so much history, it's rich in architecture, but it starts with space planning. You know, if you're not moving in your space well, then you can try to make it look pretty, but it's never going to function well. Form and function. And then obviously, what's your look? Like, what do you want? Right now I'm in my loft in Atlanta and it looks like I'm in like New York or Paris. That's what I wanted. So,
and I know you have three different places. So like, are each one done a different way? Yeah. Or do you have a specific look that you kind of do in all your places?
It's a very similar look when it comes to like, I think you can walk in all the spaces and be like, that's Allison, maybe, because of the old and new. But they're very different. Like this, the condo in Atlanta is like a little more industrial, but also has this like Parisian flat vibe. So very European influence, old pieces. Like I have an old newel post that goes up my spiral staircase. I got that and brought it from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then I did this hand blown glass top, like a finial on it. So it's like old and new. I have old, beautiful doors from Paris upstairs. But then everything's clean lined. So it's a mix of mint, like modern and vintage. Then Chicago is an old warehouse that was my old office. And I converted that to my house. So it's like, again, industrial, but very European. It's the, that house is the coolest. That's the house when like every time I walk into it, I'm like, I can't believe this is my house.
Oh my God.
Nuts.
That must be different. An amazing feeling. Okay.
It's
so fun. Explain how you got the first opportunity ever to take what you do and put that into television.
So I started my design firm. It was doing really well. 2008 happened. The world fell apart. And I get this random email from the president of this casino hotel in Vegas called the Silverton. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever, do you know it? It's the local casino.
Yeah, of course.
Attached to the Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah.
So they were doing like a $160 million renovation and addition. And the guy who called me, who's now my, like one of my best friends, but he was like, we would love for you to design it. And so I started designing that. And then after that ended up being the director of marketing for this casino. And while I was doing that, I was still doing interior design, you know, trying to keep my business going. Mm-hmm. And I got a random email from producers out of Sacramento. And they're like, does any designer in Chicago, because they were looking for one in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I was still designing back and forth. And they're like, does anyone want to do a TV show? And I wrote back. I remember exactly wrote back. I said, fuck yeah, I'm your girl. Oh, wow. Like that was it. And they were like, we want to meet you. We want to meet your contractor. We want to meet your team. Let's, you know, figure it out. So they came to a project I was working on downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. Loved my team, loved me. They're like, you got the job. I'm like, what does that mean? Now what? And they were like, well, you're going to be a ghost designer.
A what?
Now, a ghost designer,
what does that mean?
Is what people don't necessarily know about. But ghost designers are people that do all the work and don't necessarily ever get the credit. Well, obviously they don't. They're not on television. And they're like, so you would design this space for a show called House Crashers. And you're not, we're going to pay you like very small amount. It was like $2,500. You're not going to be on TV. You're not going to really, you know, you'll get a little credit, but you're, that's it. And I was like, okay, sign me up. Because at that age, you have to say yes.
Yeah, of course.
I'm finally in a place where I can say no now, but yes. And so I said yes. And as we got closer, they were like, we want to put you on. We want to see how you do, like, because you're part of your team. You designed it. So let's have you be part of the contracting team. And,
oh, wait, hold on. Yeah. What was the intention though, to have you design the whole thing and show who was the designer? Like what?
Show
how was
the host as the designer.
Oh, I see. So, and the host was just like an actress who did not have
the host was this, an actor. Okay. And, he wasn't a designer. So he needed someone to design for him.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But I think viewers probably are like, oh, he probably designs it, but he doesn't. So, right. So I said yes. And then I did 3 shoot days with them. I was a nervous wreck. I remember like demoing the cabinets and I smashed one of the cabinets in my face and I was like bleeding. And I just like, it was a mess. But I just remember leaving that experience. I'm like, this was cool. You know, right. To see my design come to fruition in 3 days, to be on the show. And so the producers from that same production company, they were like, we want to follow you around with some cameras and kind of watch what you do in real life. And so they followed me around for like, it was probably 6 or 8 months. And mm-hmm. then they pitched me a show that I would be on, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're the host. And it was called, I believe it was called Stripped. Mm. And I'm like, I don't know about that name, right? I know, I get it. I live in Vegas. I get it. But right. like, they were going to showcase my life as this interior designer running my firm, but then, you know, moonlighting as like this director of marketing at a casino hotel.
Oh, got it.
And okay. I just remember sitting there. I remember having lunch with like a executive at the network at the time and the owner of the production company. And I just remember saying to him, like, this is a beautiful opportunity and I'm really grateful, but I love what I have going on here. And I think I'm going to stick to this and pass on the show because my life makes sense to me. I'm doing these two very different jobs in Vegas and all over the country. And it makes sense to me, but I don't think it's going to make sense to the viewer. And So I was like, at that point, now looking back, I had a bit of a producer hat on my head because I'm thinking most people probably would have just said, yes, I'll do a TV show. Yes, you're going to give me something. I'm like, I don't think it's for me. I don't think this is the right way. So right. I regretfully declined. And then I was home watching the show that I did, the one that I ghost designed on. And they had like a full marathon of Crashers. It was a franchise, like House Crashers, Bath Crashers, Yard Crashers. And I'm watching the show I'm on and I'm like, these are all dudes. Like there's not a single female host. And so I pitched the network executive to be the first female crasher and to do kitchens.
Right.
And it was like that. They're like, you have a show. It's called Kitchen Crashers. You're the host. And I'm like.
And at that point, did you specialize in kitchens or why kitchens?
I pitched it because I thought it's the most important room in the house. Okay. And there wasn't a Kitchen Crashers. So it just was like, how can I do this and transform people's spaces and the most important space in people's homes? And that was it. And it just, I did not think it was going to last more than one season. Right. I'm showing up like on the job site with heels on, kicking through windows, you know, it's like, but it evolved because at first they were trying to push me as this contractor. And I'm like, I'm a designer, guys.
Right.
Let me design and be part of it and get my hands dirty like I always did. I didn't quit my day jobs at all. And mm-hmm. then I think it was like they picked up season like 3 and 4 at the same time. And I'm like, oh, this is real. Like they like this. They like me. And yeah.
So you're really known for breaking these barriers in a male dominated industry, like you talked about. I mean, what was it like? How was it received when it aired? You know, because now you look at some of these shows and they are hosted by women or there are more women in it, you know. So how do you feel about the fact that you kind of created that for yourself and how was it received by the viewers?
So I didn't realize this till way later on. You know, when I was watching and I was like, okay, there's no female. This is an angle for me to pitch. Years later, I'm there because, you know, I had been doing interior design for a while. I was used to contractors and like the relationship between a designer and a contractor, which is always kind of sticky. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be, but it always somehow is contentious. Mm-hmm. But I never looked at it like me as a female in the role. I did it as a angle to get the show.
Sure.
But be like the actuality of being a female doing this stuff, I didn't ever look at it that way. But then while I'm filming and the show's out and it's being well received, I would get questions like that. Like, how's it feel to be a female in like a male dominated industry? And I was like, what? And I would really still to this day, I mean, I understand it, but I would always just approach things like this. I'm me and I want to do this. So right. I'm going to. But then I realized that more and more people were just like asking. And that means that more and more people think that. Right. And so even though I don't, I need to look at it differently and empathize or sympathize with some people that maybe can't get into the industry because they're a woman or they're being treated unfairly because they are or whatever it is. But it was very well received. And I was treated really well by the production company and the network. And, you know, there were some people. There was like, you know, the guy that did House Crashers was not nice at all. He was not happy that I got Kitchen Crashers. Like, he was a good example of like what not to do right. as a man in this business.
And wait, was he one of the people that was like an actor or he was a real guy in the business?
I guess he was a real contractor. I don't know, okay. but he was also like a real jerk. So he was that was a bad experience for me, but it also just showed me like the industry right away. It was like, wait a minute. I thought this person liked me and I thought that we did have fun together on that show right. only to realize that like he hated that I was getting my own show and he thought it was like, but he just was a jerk. He was right. a jerk.
He made it about a competition as opposed to you could both be in the same industry and try.
There's room for all of us. And if you're good, you'll stay. And if you're not, you'll leave.
And right. And incidentally, where is he now? Does he still have a show?
Couldn't even tell you.
And where are you? You have a show airing yes. right now.
Yeah, because you know, when you show up and you have integrity and you're authentic, like you stay.
Yeah. That's yeah. right. So yeah. talk about Windy City Rehab. What is that? What is the premise of that show?
So Windy City Rehab, I created because I did 9 seasons of Kitchen Crashers.
That's amazing.
And yeah, thank you. It's crazy. I like opened up, I was going to move some things and I saw all my DVDs of all the episodes in my cabinet. I'm like, well, first of all, why do I have DVDs? But looking at the amount of them, I was like, 113, like who, I so never impressive. Thought it would even Amazing. Make it. Thanks. And, but during that time I was getting kind of burnt out because you're doing the same thing. It's a bit of a Groundhog's Day because you go to Lowe's, you find people there who need new kitchens, you give them a new kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I want to show people the real reality of this business. Mm-hmm. It's not all rainbows and like sunshine and everybody gets a beautiful space and doesn't go through hell to get it. So I pitched Windy City because I bought an old house in Chicago and I was renovating it. And it wasn't like Kitchen Crashers mm-hmm. and it never is. And yeah, they picked it up. They picked up the pilot. And then-
Did you have to end one to start the other?
I was beginning one while the other was kind Fading. Of ending. Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Because it takes so damn long. I mean, you could pitch a show and it could get from the time, like from start to like, to where you start filming could be a year or two. Right. Minimum, probably a year.
Right.
So, yeah.
I finally discovered my sleep superhero with Dreamies. These gummies are like a cozy hug for my body and mind, getting me ready for a night of rejuvenation. Seriously, I wake up feeling like I can conquer the world. I've had a really hard time with my sleep cycles for years. I've tried prescription drugs. I've tried the melatonin and the things over the counter. Nothing really works for me. So the mix in Dreamies of melatonin and ashwagandha is a game changer for my racing thoughts. It's like hitting the off switch for my brain. And let's not forget magnesium. It's my go-to for easing those perky tensions after a long day of juggling work, family, and life. I love how Dreamies helps keep my melatonin levels in check. As I navigate this busy phase of life, it's comforting to know I have a little helper looking out for my well-being. Plus, I've noticed that catching enough Z's makes a big difference for my weight management. When I'm well-rested, I'm way more likely to choose that salad over the cookie, most of the time at least. Go to holisticgoddess.com and check out Dreamies. Get 15% off by using code UNDERSTOOD. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com with code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. Hey, Misunderstood listeners, this episode is brought to you by Lola V. Yes, the award-winning hair care line founded by none other than Jennifer Aniston herself. With the holiday season upon us, it's the perfect time to embrace the joy of giving. And let's be honest, what could be better than the gift of gorgeous, healthy hair? Jen created Lola V because she, like so many of us, was tired of choosing between hair care products that actually worked and ones that were good for us. So she set out to create the ultimate clean, plant-powered hair care line. Whether your hair is curly, straight, fine, or thick, Lola V has something for everyone. The secret sauce? Their B Pro 3 Bond technology, derived from chia seeds. It's clinically proven to repair, protect, and prevent signs of damage and aging in your hair. It doesn't just mask the problem, it combats dry and breakage at the source, giving you visibly stronger, healthier hair. Now, let me tell you about my experience. I've been using the Ultimate Care Kit, and it's been a game changer for my hair. The restorative shampoo and conditioner made my hair feel softer and healthier after just one wash. And the glossing detangler, wow, it is my go-to for battling frizz, protecting my hair from heat styling, and adding that salon-worthy shine. If you're looking for the perfect gift this season, definitely check out that Ultimate Care gift. So this holiday season, unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at lolav.com. As a listener of this show, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code Rachel15 at checkout. That's lolave.com with promo code Rachel15. So now we're in season, correct me if I'm wrong, is it season 5 of Windy City Rehab?
Season 5, yeah.
And that means, okay, first of all, explain to people that are listening, because I know a lot of these people love these shows. You said you went into Lowe's a second ago to find people that wanted kitchens for the other show.
Yeah.
How does that work? Do the networks pay for the renovation? Do the people have to pay? I think that's always a question you have as a viewer.
So Kitchen Crashers was a different format, different style. The network would pay for that renovation.
Okay. And would people submit their, please work on my kitchen, or how did it work?
Most of the time it was very random. I would pride myself on finding true random people at the store, but sometimes you can't. So we would have people that would submit, and then, you know, they would meet me in Lowe's. So, but this show,
go ahead.
Windy City, these are people doing real renovations. These are clients that really want me to design their house. These are people that are doing it on their own with their own money.
So and they're really so paying you to do the renovations.
So I don't really charge them what I would charge a client off television.
Got it.
Because I'm getting, you know, I'm making a beautiful TV show out of it too. So I don't know. I feel weird about that. Yeah. So it's like, in essence, they're getting some free design and then they're paying for the renovation. They're getting their own contractor. They're doing their own thing. Like I'll stage it with a staging company at the end, but they're not keeping that stuff.
Right.
And obviously with my relationships, I can get heavy discounts on things, or if I get things that don't cost anything, I would give them right to the client. So it's a real win-win-win.
Yeah. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I know people that do follow Windy City Rehab, they know that you faced some challenges and some obstacles that happened a couple of years ago with, I think it was the leaving of a co-host. Am I correct with that?
He wasn't a co-host. He was, he was a contractor.
Contractor. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what did you learn about, or what would you say is some advice about working with people and relationships and then having to start over and find new people that you trust?
Yeah. So when I started Windy City, that's how I met that person.
Oh, I see. Okay. And you didn't bring him on and he was a part of your existing.
No, apparently he had been a contractor on Kitchen Crashers at the end.
Got it.
But like, you know, at that point I was just on autopilot. Sure. So I was going to buy one of my homes that I was going to renovate and sell. And my banker was like, hey, I'm sitting here with this guy, you know him. I'm like, I don't know him. He goes, well, we're all going to a Blackhawks game tonight. You should come and hang out. So I went, I met him, we talked, I told him what I was doing. He told me what he was doing, said he was a contract, you know, GC and developer. And we teamed up and he ended up being my general contractor. He was also on the show, but he was never a co-host. He was never paid by the network. Like he was not talent. He was a general contractor, but I should have, this is what I will say takeaway wise, because everything I had built was completely taken away from me. Mm. And I was in the middle of filming a season and everything came crashing down.
Right.
I was out filming a new show called Rock the Block. On day one, I woke up in LA to like a million phone calls, like news, you know, reporters, everybody. And it was like the headline was that this person was like the building department had like taken his license because he didn't do things right. All of this was news to me. Mm-hmm. I immediately am like, what do I do? All I do at that point is figure out how do I make it right? Yeah. How do I clean up a mess that wasn't mine? How do I take responsibility for trusting someone else with my business, with a business? And ultimately, I ignored red flags, which I will never do again. Mm-hmm. My gut feeling, you have to go with it. If something's not feeling right inside, something's not going right outside. Like,
so you felt something along the way.
There were so many red flags, but then the feeling I had, but you know what? And maybe this is a good thing about me is like, I want to believe there's good in people. So I didn't want to believe this was a bad person. Mm. I wanted to believe there was something that I wasn't getting, right? Let me get to the bottom of it. Let me fix it. Let me make it right. And I tried. But ultimately, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
So I believed him. I fired him. And then it was not smooth sailing after that. It was the roughest shit I've ever gone through in my life.
Why?
I wouldn't have wished that on my worst enemy. I was being sued by like 8 people. I had the network who contracted me for like 8 episodes or 10 episodes or something. And I remember being so devastated that I bought a ticket to New York. I asked the president of HGTV to meet me. And I met with her at her office. And I said, listen, I know I'm supposed to, I was going to do X amount of homes. I don't know what I can even do. I'm about to sue. I'm about to be embroiled in lawsuits. And I'm scared that you're going to fire me. And I'm scared that I'm going to lose my job. And I'm scared I'm going to lose everything. Mm. And she looked at me and she's like, that's not going to happen. Like, we're going to follow your story. And we're going to figure it out. And ultimately we ended up doing, I believe, 5 episodes that were 90 minutes long, that were almost like mini movies. Like they were true docuseries of what I was going through and what was happening. Right. I couldn't show all of it, but I sure as hell could show what I was doing on those days. And things obviously, like in reality TV, the real comes out, and it was awful. And I just remember, but I also remember, like, I would cry a lot, and I'm not a crier, but I would cry a lot. And I would always tell my camera guy and my producer, like, give me a minute. Mm. And then I just remember one point, I'm like, why the hell am I giving myself a minute? Like, I created the show to show people the truth. And if I'm sad and I'm hurting and I'm scared, then why am I hiding it? Let's just do exactly what I set out to do. And never thought this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's happening. And so.
And was that in season 1? What season was that?
That was season 2, I think.
Okay.
And well, so it was, but what it showed me was that like my network was so supportive of me. Mm. My production company was so supportive of me. And everyone in my life, like, was beyond supportive. You know, sometimes when people go through hell, all of a sudden you don't know where your friends are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not experience that, thank God. Mm-hmm. I showed up for myself, like where I was like, I'm stronger than I thought I ever was. I am more resilient than I ever thought I was. I have more integrity than I ever thought I had. Like,
yeah,
this was not my mess that I had made, but I knew I had a responsibility to clean it up because it was my name. You know, he was no one. So all of a sudden I'm like, this person's not going to ruin everything that I have built because this is my business. Forget the TV show, right? This was my business and my name.
And seeing you climb out of that and get through that was probably more relatable to people than just watching you redo people's houses. I mean, I'm assuming that was the first time they really got to see you go through stuff and come out of it and figure out how to get out of it when it wasn't just being handed to you or it wasn't just the easiest of stuff. So, and here you are 3 seasons after that in season 5. How do you change every season or what's different about it that keeps it going and moving, elevating forward?
Good question, because think about coming off the heels of like a season like that, where it's the worst time of your life, but it's the best ratings you've ever seen.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's the most confusing and conflicting feeling that no one can understand, where you're like, almost like, I don't care if I ever rate that high again, just to never go through that again. Mm. Right. And so you're like, season 3, it's like, you're watching me still kind of come out of it, but it's like rebuilding and working with clients now and kind of easing off because I have no money to flip a house. Mm-hmm. I sold my house. I sold my car. I was Ubering to work or taking taxis and like lost everything I had. And so you're watching me rebuild this business that I thought I was going to lose, my reputation that I thought was completely tarnished, the city that I grew up in and that I lived in that felt like an enemy. Mm. But I still love what I do. I still love design. So slowly I started working with clients again. So that season had its like arc, right? And then you go into season 4 and it's like, I'm feeling renewed and refreshed and I'm still working with clients, but I'm kind of tiptoeing back into the flipping game, but out of state in Vegas, building my dream home there and like wanting to spend more time. So there's a bit of an arc there. And season 5 was like, I'm happy. Okay. Is that enough of an arc? Like I'm happy. And when you're happy in life, good things happen. Like, I don't know if you've ever had this transformation of just like, you feel like reborn, you feel more beautiful. Like I felt more beautiful. I felt more clear. I'd also gone to see, I went to this place called the Hoffman Process, which I don't know if you've ever heard about.
I have, I know it well.
But I came out of that and I'm like, I'm going to be so damn good. And
is that the one where you go for a week? There's a couple of them.
There's one in Sonoma and there's one in Connecticut and you go for a week. Yeah.
And it changed your life.
It changed my life. There's no way that I would be the person that I am right now had I not gone through that. It was the best thing I've ever done for myself.
Aging is a fact of life, but let's be honest. Who says we can't age better? It's time to take control of your well-being with Renew Youth. I've been so impressed by their personalized approach to health and longevity. They're not just about fixing one issue. They're about truly improving the way you feel every day. Renew Youth has been a trusted leader in hormone therapy and longevity medicine for over 25 years. What makes them stand out is their commitment to you. There's no one size fits all here. They offer personalized treatments designed specifically for your needs, whether you're looking into testosterone replacement and estrogen control for men or hormone balancing for women with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone therapies. But it doesn't stop there. Renew Youth goes beyond hormone therapy. They also provide solutions for healthy aging, improving sexual function, weight loss, nutrition, and more. And the best part, all their treatments are physician supervised, so you know they're safe and effective. To top it off, Renew Youth is dedicated to building long-term relationships. Fun fact, their very first client from 1999 is still with them today. That's how much people trust them. Ready to find your own personalized solution to aging better? Here's an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Right now, you can save 50% on your initial lab testing, but you'll need to act fast because this is only available at my special URL, renewyouth.com/misunderstood. Take the first step to a better you and sign up for a free consultation today. That's renewyouth.com/misunderstood and start feeling your best. Support Renew Youth means supporting this podcast. I'm so excited for you to see what they can do for you. Let's age better together.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you for a second about balancing your personal and your professional, because we see you all the time in this professional role. You have three homes right now. You're bouncing all around. How do you balance that? You know, I think just recently you went Instagram official, whatever the hell they want to call it, with a new man. So how do you balance that and make sure you have a little bit of yourself for yourself?
For me, the balance is all about, like, it's work and play and doing it the right way. And that just means, like, what feels right. Like, I just spent the whole weekend in Atlanta with five of my closest friends, and we do a weekend every year where we do, like, the botanical gardens, like, lights, and we just go, we act like kids, and it's something that, like, I laugh nonstop. If I'm not laughing, then there's no balance. Like, I'm all about having fun. I'm all about being around people that I love, that I feel safe with. I love travel. I love design. I apparently love design too much. I have to stop designing houses because I need to sell these things. I got to stop hoarding these places. But, like, having a partner, a real partner in life that I want to share my life with, being away from him this weekend is healthy, because it's like, I want him to do the same thing. Be with your friends, be with, you know, your kids. Like, I'm going to be here. You're going to. But also always kind of finding that way to come together. It's easy. I'm doing it. I don't feel like it's a struggle, if I'm being honest. Sometimes I have moments where I'm like, oh, I can't do it all. Because I can't do it all. There's no way. I used to, younger me, of course, we're all like, I could do everything. Right. I can't. So I just know what my limit is and when I need to recharge, which typically is every night when I sleep 9-10 hours.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And obviously if you're sleeping like that, you must be in a place of happiness. Cause I know when I'm not, I have a very hard time sleeping.
Well, I had only had a hard time sleeping during that moment. That period of my life where I ended up going to see, like, a psychiatrist. I ended up going on, like, pills to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I had never experienced not sleeping. But anxiety and fear was, like, the most crippling thing in the world.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That faded. And I've always slept. And it's like, kind of, my friend said it to me yesterday. She goes, you sleep like that because you have to, like, charge like a phone. And, like, you get up and you're full power and full steam. Like, this is decaf. Oh, I can't drink caffeine. My head will pop off.
Right.
But. Yeah. Yeah, you just go.
Do you see yourself getting married again, having your own family? Like, where do you see your future?
So I definitely 100% do not want my own kids.
You don't?
No.
You've never wanted kids?
No, I think in my past relationship, because he did, I thought I did. And I went through, like, round after round. I did almost 20 rounds of egg freezing.
I know.
That was all during the lawsuits, like, shooting myself up with hormones, traveling with needles, doing, like, retrievals and getting nothing. And and then at the end, it was great. Like, when my boyfriend and I talked and he's like, I know you've been freezing eggs and, like, do you want a family? And I was like, no. He goes, are you sure? Like, I go, no, 100%. I couldn't be more me right now. No, I do not want kids. It's not for me. I've never wanted that. So no, I do not want to start a family. I want to spend the rest of my life with my partner, whatever that means. It doesn't have to be, like, for me, a piece of paper doesn't solidify anything.
Right.
But
But you do believe in a life partner and a witness to your life and a teammate.
100%. I'm extremely like long-term relationship girl. Never been like a dater or anything like that. I've never experienced a partnership. So this is the real deal. And this is all I need for the rest of it. Yeah.
Oh God. I love that. Allison. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. So let's talk about some tangible things that our listeners and viewers can take with them
into
their own homes. Okay. First of all, what are the winter trends right now? And what are you seeing going into 2025?
So I just did it here in this place. I changed out pillows. I changed out a couple little accessories. I went yesterday to Home Goods. I spent $2,600.
By the way, I'm obsessed with Home Goods. If I ever have to get a job again, I'm going to work there because I spend all my money there.
Could not agree more. I said to my friends yesterday, I had all five of them come with me. We drove both of their cars, went to Home Goods. Everyone got a cart. I said, go time. They knew what we had to style and stage.
Right.
I was there 3 days ago buying a disco encrusted life-size bear.
Amazing.
For $1,000. Threw it in the back of the truck. We're going to take it to Malibu for our New Year's party. But like, why? Right? What am I doing?
The one that I have here in Palm Beach right now has a Cinderella life-size carriage that you could put on your lawn. Like I'm in Palm Beach, Florida. So like very random. And I literally stood there with the manager of the store for at least 10 minutes deciding if and why I shouldn't buy it because I felt like I had to have it. Made absolutely no sense, but I'm like, oh, I have to have this. Like, and we're deciding how I would get it home and how you have to take apart the 2,500 pieces and bolts to get it in a car. I mean, it made no sense, but it was so fabulous.
It makes perfect sense. Okay. I know exactly what your brain went through to not get it.
Right. It was devastating. I left there being like, oh my God, I really missed out.
I know, but you know what? There's always a way. Yesterday, I had the same dilemma. I bought this massive piece of art because I just needed to stage something and bought it, got out. We're trying to shove it into one Tesla, then the other one, neither of which was a Cybertruck. So this thing didn't fit. I went back in and returned it. And, but I am there. I swear I'm there 2 to 3 days a week, depending on like where I am in the country. Mm-hmm. But $2,600 changed the entire look of this condo. Like the entire feel. I brought in different tones and like rust colors and greens, which are my favorite. But you don't have to spend a ton of money to reimagine a space. Like you can legit spend $500 at a place like that and really get a totally different vibe.
Yeah.
So area rugs and accessories and pillows and lamps and stuff like that. Like that's an easy way to do it.
Right.
People don't have the eye for it, but maybe they can get inspired by other people that do.
Do you believe that people should spend a lot of money during all these different holidays and like redecorate their house and Christmas stuff? And then, you know, when you get into Halloween, like redoing everything in oranges, do you do that kind of thing?
Okay, fine. Yes, of course I do. And it's getting worse. I mean, like now I understand how my 90-year-old grandmother, like, changed out like her rugs for Christmas.
Right.
You know, like she had a Santa sofa. I get it now, right? I'm 44. Like in maybe 40 years, am I doing that? Probably.
Right.
So,
okay. So you don't think that's a waste? That's not a waste of money for people.
If it makes you happy, like home is happiness to me. Mm-hmm. If you really love where you live, if you're lucky enough to love where you live, then you better like make your space super enjoyable while you're there. And if that means you want to get a pumpkin couch, go for it. I think it's like, if you have the money to go and buy something that makes you feel good and makes your space more homey and livable, do it, right? Life is short. Come on.
And what are your thoughts on dupes? I mean, I think I know your answer because you like Home Goods, but do people, you know, can people get affordable things that look like Serena and Lily and Restoration Hardware and Our House and all those things?
I find everything that looks like something else at HomeGoods.
And you don't think that they're sacrificing quality at, you know, just by buying it at HomeGoods?
No, because some of the pieces are pretty expensive there too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like filler pieces. I mean, you might find, you know, if you go to different HomeGoods, you do see different things. You could find a big king bed.
Yeah.
You could find a sofa. You can find chair. You can literally find everything for home. But also some of the staple pieces you probably want. I'm all about layers. So okay. I don't want to change my sofa 10 years from now. I don't want to change my dining table. So make those really neutral enough. And when I say neutral, I don't mean the color. Make them timeless enough to where, like, you didn't want to change the chairs out. Great. Get a different feel. Change the bar stools.
Right.
But you're not changing the hardscape pieces. Like the pieces that really cost a lot.
And so go back to my question about the winter trends and the 2025 trends. Are you seeing a trend in color or feel or, I don't know, like, what are you seeing that people should be aware of?
Well, I mean, I'm seeing, because I'm not a trend talker unless it's timeless.
Okay.
Because I think trends could be a waste of money. If it's not something that you see being timeless, why are you going to waste money? Mm-hmm. Like, Christmas is never going away. Halloween's never going away. So I don't mean it like that, gimmicky like that. Okay. But if like leopard print wallpaper's in, okay, well, it's wallpaper. We could paint over it. We could take it off. We can wallpaper over it if we get sick of it. That's not a huge investment. But like if we're doing disco ball kitchen hoods, right. I'm not going to do that unless the house is really going to ask for it. But I just think that trends for winter, color.
Got
these
it.
Plum colors, eggplant, rust, golds. Those can come in with the accessories. Those can come in with the pillows. Those can come in with area rugs. So those trends, like trends that are timeless, like the kitchen trend of seeing our kitchens become even less of a utilitarian look and more of like, it's a living room. Mm. So things are kind of hidden. And like my kitchen behind me, I wanted that feel. I wanted it to look sleek. Like you're almost like in like a library or a built-in kind of feel. Like the hood's very decorative. So that's a trend. Bringing in historic pieces is trending up, especially when it comes to resale. People are seeing like a 9% increase in the sales price, which is cool. I'm like, I've been doing that my whole career. So it's nice to really see it. People want old homes. They want old pieces in their new homes.
Right.
So that's something I'm seeing.
What are your thoughts on color and wallpapers? Like you just mentioned, changing a room to freshen it up. Like for me, I actually saw something on your Windy City rehab page where you had changed a kitchen. And I did this 2 weeks ago. So I have now that Annapolis blue, I think it's called.
Oh, you do?
All of my kitchen cabinets on the lower part, the upper part is still like a white. And then I changed my counter. It was when I bought the house, it was a black, I don't know, slate, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like. And so now it's like this white marble with like kind of gold veins through it.
Yeah.
And it looks, I'm gonna have to send you a picture later. It looks so pretty. And I'm so excited to walk in my kitchen because now it feels pretty and I like hanging out in there. And it's this open floor plan that goes into one of my TV rooms. And it just looks so, and it's big and gorgeous. And I'm in there all the time now and I love it. I just love that.
Because
adding the
happy blue.
Yeah.
Like even if you didn't cook, you would probably want to be in there because you're happy in there and it feels really good.
Yeah.
That blue is beautiful. And the way you just said that you broke up the blue, like had you done the blue with the black and then the white, that's just too much going on. So having the white countertop to balance out the uppers in white, I love that. I just think wallpaper is an easy thing to put up and take down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that it's easy to take down, but it's easy to cover up. Like you want to paint it, you can paint over it. A backsplash in the kitchen, it's not going to cost you a ton of money, but it's more of a hardscape. So if you want to replace that, that's fine. Painting your cabinets. I don't know. Did you paint or replace yours?
I painted. Well, I
didn't.
I hired someone to do it.
Yeah, good.
No, because the cabinets themselves, I want to say they're like shaker cabinets. I don't really know much about that, but they're beautiful cabinets. And so I just really wanted to change the color because they were all white. Yeah. And it changed the entire look of the kitchen.
Well, I love that you did. I love that you did a bold color on the base. Yes. And kept it nice and light and white on the top. I love that. Yeah. Like in this kitchen behind me, it's all black, like quarter sawn oak lowers. And then I did the gold uppers.
I can see it.
So it's like, beautiful. Yeah, it's like light, feels like, doesn't feel so heavy.
Yeah.
So I love
it. So I guess my original question though is like, do you like the idea of taking a room and putting maybe one accent wall on a bright blue or a bright red or, okay, tell me.
I don't like accent walls because they're so like non-committal. It's like, if you love that wallpaper so much, do the whole room. If you love that color so much, do the whole room. If you're just putting it on one wall, it's kind of like, if you want an accent wall, do it the right way. Do it with texture. Do it with like contrast. Do it with like a stone or wood, right? Like,
got it.
Bring it out. Don't just throw a color on it. I'm against the painting one wall, one color.
Okay. That's good to know. When designing a space, is there a particular element like a type of tile? I know you're now getting into the tile business, but color palette, furniture piece that really stands out to you that you're like, okay, in every house we have to do this.
Oh, every house should have a mantle, a beautiful mantle, whether it's marble, whether you have a fireplace to put it around.
What do you do if you don't have a fireplace?
So I do huge candles that I stagger. In Vegas at my house there, I have real candles. So I light those and it just illuminates underneath while I'm watching TV. And then in Chicago, I love finding antique mantles. That is one of my favorite things, whether wood or marble or stone, whatever. But I like the mix, and I think everyone should have a mantle. It centers the space. It establishes a moment in a space, and it allows you to really put your furniture around it. So every house should have a mantle.
Okay. I love that. For people that have pets and or children, is there a brand of furniture or, you know, something for furniture, for rugs that's safe? I mean, for me, listen, when I started on this house, everything was Restoration Hardware, Lulu in Georgia, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Now I've had to get rid of it all because I have three dogs and they've ruined everything. They go in the pool, they go in the mud, they end up on the, on everything.
Yeah.
So now I go to Home Goods because I can get a rug once every 6 weeks and I don't feel bad about it, or a couch, same kind of idea. But what for you would you suggest for people that need like performance fabrics and rugs and furniture?
I don't dabble in furniture that much these days, but I would say for me, like my nieces and nephews come over and I don't want to be Thea's Greek for aunt. Sorry. I don't want to be the aunt that's like, get off, don't touch that. Right. I want people to live in my space. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm not keeping those kids.
Right. So,
like an ultra suede is not my favorite, but there's also all these brands have performance fabrics.
Right.
I think it's a preference. I also think it's like, there's some like nice cover options that look like a slip cover and then you can wash them. Mm-hmm. As long as something is durable enough to withstand like scrubbing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fabric is like on the back of a fabric sample, you'll see double rubs and it'll say how many. And when you get to the commercial grade, like it's like, meaning how many times can you rub a fabric until that thing's fallen apart?
Oh,
so the higher the number, the better the fabric. And so just look for that.
Oh, I just learned something there. I didn't know that.
Sure. Okay.
I'm always scrubbing something off the rug. So that's very good to know.
Yeah. We'll see how many scrubs you have.
Okay. I will. All right. For someone new to design, what is one small change they can make to elevate their home immediately?
Painting your cabinets. Either doing it yourself or having someone do it for you. I'll tell you, doing it yourself is not easy. No. But you can change the whole look and feel. And if you're renting or you own the home, renting even better because you can put it back to the color it was, unless it was a stain. But it shouldn't just be for people that own homes. Like renters should be able to put their mark on something. Did I give you the thumbs up?
I don't know.
I should be able to change a space to feel like it's yours while you're in it.
Right.
And so cabinets being painted is a big one.
Okay, good. I love that. You've accomplished so much in design and television. What's on your horizon for 2025 and beyond that?
Well, I started my production company called Briefly Gorgeous Productions and pitched my first show with Briefly Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And it was greenlit. It's called Sin City Rehab.
Oh my God, amazing.
So I'm going home to my second city, Las Vegas. And we started filming about a month ago. So,
oh my God, I love it.
I know.
What's different about that? What will it be about?
What's different about that is you both know you were in Vegas. Vegas, that's what's different. Like the houses, the history, and also making sure that people know, like, I'm not going for the track homes. We're not going for the cookie cutter homes. I'm going for the homes that stood out 50 years ago. We don't have the 100 plus years that Chicago does. So what history can I find and how can I bring it to life again?
Yeah. There are so many amazing homes there. And by the way, when I was there, I lived in the Las Vegas Country Club Estates, which is also where my grandparents live now still. And very interesting because it was like Kirk Kerkorian. It was Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, our neighbors, yeah. And, you know, my godparents, essentially, they're dead now. God bless them. And then my grandparents still live there, my grandmother, step-grandmother, who my grandfather was 104, died recently, and his wife, who's now, I don't know, 60, is in the same house that my original grandparents lived in. And so it's just been like this fantastic place to go to live there, but also to see the evolution of that home that they've had there for so long. So the houses there are unbelievable.
I love that story.
Yeah.
God, I love that story.
And also when I bought my first house there, I bought the maisonette in the Turnberry.
Yes.
You know, the ground floor.
I do.
It was amazing. And I worked for Tao, and I had one of the designers from Tao come and build out my whole new, home, basically. And it felt like a home because it was, the ground floor apartment as opposed to an apartment. And it was so fun. I changed everything about it. And, you know, in 2008, I ended up letting it go, but it was my most favorite thing ever. And has some great history. The owner of Piero's bought it for his,
Piero Salvaggio?
Frankie.
Oh, Evan Glessman?
No, Frank. You know, do you know Frankie from Piero's, the restaurant?
So I know Freddie, and then I know.
Yeah. Freddie also. Yes. Okay. So yes. Yeah. Freddie and his friend Frankie, but they are, they know me well. I know them well. And my apartment goes to all the girls in their lives.
Wow.
So funny.
I love that. Evan Glessman was one of my best friends, and he ended up marrying one of my friends, and they still live in Vegas. So
how amazing.
You and I probably know so many of the same people. So and also many. I probably saw you a million times at Tao.
Maybe. Sure. Yeah. Maybe.
Sure.
So it's such an amazing place and always new things happening there. So you will have a great time redoing those older homes.
Yeah. And a lot of production companies are coming out to Vegas and a lot of studios are being built in Vegas. You know, I've been in Vegas since I was 19. So I've been there for almost 25 years.
Yeah.
And I've watched that city change and just evolve into this beautiful place that has it all. And I just couldn't be happier to be home doing what I love in the other city that I love. And and just building, truly just building my brand. I mean, my tile collection continues to grow. I've got my new tile collection called the Malibu Edit that's coming out in, I think it's less than a month. Right. And then my new collection called the French Connection. It's beautiful porcelain tile that looks like old tiles that you would see in like any a cafe or restaurant in Paris. And, and then I have so many things that are like in the, so many irons in the fire that like I'll be able to start posting about, and I'm getting into the beauty game into that. I love lotions and potions and like making sure I'm always feeling good and looking good and can't wait to really just announce that. So
amazing. I cannot wait to hear about that. All right. So when people think of Alice and Victoria in the years to come, what do you hope they remember most about you?
I hope they remember my authenticity. I hope that they remember that, like, they see themselves in me because I am so real and raw. And what they see on camera is exactly who I am in real life, because this is my life. And I don't want to hide anything or not show people, even if it's bad or the good, the bad, the ugly. It's like, here it is. Like me, don't like me, but, like, at least give me the credit for being real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Alice and Victoria, it's been such a pleasure meeting you. I wish you the best of luck. Tell people where they can watch Windy City Rehab right now.
You watch Windy City Rehab Tuesday nights, 8, 7 Central on HGTV. They can stream it on Discovery Plus. They can just stream it on Max. And look out for Sin City Rehab coming later in 2025.
I love that. And tell people where they can find you. Do you read your DMs on Instagram?
If people, you know, only recently did I figure out you could see other people's DMs. I thought you could only see people that you follow. So I'm not very, like, savvy with that. And I do my own social, but yeah, no, I mean, people can find me on Instagram. It's the Alice and Victoria. And gosh, I'm trying to get into TikTok, but God, I'm tired.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's too much.
Pay someone to do it if you have to.
I know. I can't.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully, listen, if you're ever in Palm Beach, I will take you out for a drink. I'd love to meet you in person.
And I would too.
And it's been so fun. We'll share a girl, you know, hair girl
done
numbers.
Yes, please.
And no, I do wish you the best. I will keep following your career. And I can't wait to see what happens for sure.
You too. And you let me know if you come to Vegas.
I will. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.